Blog Talk Radio.
No time for goodbye, he said, as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, if you wanna get out alive, hold on for you.
We're so sorry, but you people need to stay on your side of the ocean. Keep your zombieism over there. Oh, my God. As Corey was saying earlier, as we were sitting there watching all of this, they're going to have their, what was it, alien zombie apocalypse?
alien zombie apocalypse virus, that's what it's going to be called. Oh, you know what? I am torn between, I feel bad for the people in Russia. I do. We're laughing, but I'm also scared. That's what everybody's saying. It's cool as a geek to be alive to see something like this, because I don't know about the most of you, but when I was in school, we were told about meteorites and things like this as happening in the 40s and 50s, long before any of us came along. And, of course, the footage is sketchy. You know, so it could be fake. We're really not sure. But when you see it...
Yeah, I'm showing some of the video right now if you've not seen this.
Yeah, watched it. We were gathering a whole bunch of footage right before. Why did I not grab that link? Let's grab our link. Amazing.
And seriously, in a minute, we're going to show you a building that has, like, a chunk taken out of it. And I can't help but think, you know what? That was hit by a piece of meteorite.
Yeah, I think it was, too. It doesn't look like it's caused by
an
explosion.
There we go. Yes. Here we go. Where's the picture? Watching for it on the screen, because I know I'm a couple of seconds ahead. There we go, that building.
I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. What can you do to, you know, there's no meteorite planning guide or, and we were also talking about, Ginger was saying a lot of people say their cell phones got knocked out. That is natural EMP. If you don't know what EMP is, you need your geek card pulled, seriously. So if there was, you know, some sort of crisis, let's hypothetically say some things happened. What if that wasn't a meteorite and it really was some little being crashing down to our planet and your phones are knocked out? For all intents and purposes, Russia's gagged. We wouldn't even know what was happening.
Exactly. I mean, it's nuts how this happened.
Somebody's going to have to invent an anti-EMP something. They're going to have to invent an anti-EMP phone or something.
You see it explode in a second. Oh, at least I thought you did. Okay, maybe you don't see it in this video. You see it in the next video, I think. And Chelyabinsk? There we go. It's the area that was over. They say at least 1,000 have turned up, or close to 1,000 people have turned up for injuries.
Yeah, when I left, it was 2,400, and then, oh, my God, look at him. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That must have been
crazy. We've not heard about any deaths yet, but... sure, somebody's going to die of a heart attack. You know, old people.
Thank goodness.
And I wish I had the noise up on this because you could actually hear it explode.
Sonic, could you hear the sonic boom when it hit the...
Yeah, I'm going to turn this up. See if he...
Let me go ahead and turn down. Get out alive. Yeah, that is amazing.
Because you can hear it. Oh, wait, I just missed it. Get your finger out of the way, dude.
They are freaking out, and rightly so.
There we go. Yeah. And I definitely wanted to show you all the noise. That was, you can hear the glass shattering. I mean, see, they were talking about, you know, at first they thought it was a missile attack or something going on, and I'm sure everybody was looking at North Korea like, North Korea?
Oh, dude. North Korea was about to be taken down. If they didn't, that's another thing that worries me. I mean, what? Like I said, they were pretty much radio silent for a good while till this, you know, the system came back up. What if they thought North Korea had done something and fired on
their own? I know. And they're saying that the Russian military probably knew about this for days, knew about the impending strike, but didn't tell anybody. But at the same time, you know, what are you supposed to tell them? Oh, hey, we've got a meteorite coming in. We're not quite for sure where it's going to hit.
Well,
nowhere that you run safe.
But don't they have some leftover, you know, bunkers from back in the day? They could put some people underground or...
But at the same time, you don't know where it's going to hit for certain. So how safe are these bunkers going to be? I'm sorry, y'all are hearing me tear open a fruit strip, so...
I am so mad at you now. You know, Baby Nature didn't save me any of her Valentine's candy. She gave me a lollipop and a Nerd.
Well, this isn't candy. This is food.
I will cut you. It's
not like Fruit Loop. Fruit Loop is like sugar paste that has been dried out.
Do not make me go and get a piece of potato pie. Don't make me do it.
It has added sugar. It's really good.
Sweet potato pie.
I don't like sweet potatoes, so, you know.
Oh, good. Then I'll go get some sweet butter cookies to stick into it. Y'all know I have jacked up taste buds. I'm not going to tell y'all what I...
She does. She does.
I do.
God, that is just crazy. And I had to make the whole joke. I know that internet meme's dead, but in Soviet Russia, rock steps on you. So, seriously, we are concerned, and we hope that nobody was seriously hurt in this.
Well, that's why I'm able to laugh. Laughing. Yeah, that is why I'm able to laugh, because there's nobody, they're not saying anybody's come up dead. And I see
some people talk about this for like centuries. I got this scar from a meteorite.
Yeah, that's, you got a cool scar now. I got this from the meteorite of 2013.
The adventure until I took a meteorite to the knee.
Oh my God, Ginger. And Ginger has said the quote of the day. Who's gonna make the T-shirt? Oh, God, I got to tweet it out. I'm going to put the TM in front of it.
I'll put it on Facebook.
Oh, you can hear us typing. Live news, show people, live news. All right, I put the TM in front. That's Ginger's. Can't use it. Got to pay her $5 every time you say it and $100 every time you put it on a shirt. There you go. And you sell a shirt. Oh, my God. I'm now concerned because we do have something else coming. And
yes, tonight. Tonight.
Yeah. Well, actually, not tonight. It's going to be in the next couple of hours is what I heard. Around 1.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, 1:30, 1:24 exactly. They're expecting this to pass us. But you said something interesting that is actually has me afraid, is that what other little things that may be trailing by or you know, that are going to happen.
You know, I started thinking about that when they started telling us that this was going to happen. Oh, the meteorites come by. I'm like, you know what? Those things don't come in one. Those things, it's a big rock enclosed. Well, I say enclosed.
According to
other smaller ones.
Now, NASA's saying that this particular meteorite has nothing to do with the one that's coming. Expert Dan Yeomans, see how we're going to turn this right into news? Yeah. Head of the agency Near Earth Project Program Office told Space.com that the object which exploded over Europe is likely an exploding fireball known as a bolide. And he says more than 500 people were injured, which we already know. And this is according to the Russian emergency industry. He stressed that the bolide event was likely not associated at all with the incoming asteroid 2012 DA14, which will fly. This is how close it's going to fly. So we probably will be able to see it 17,000 miles of Earth.
Well, I don't think we're going to be able to see it, at least not by the naked eye. You're going to have some help. It's coming in between. There are two layers of satellites surrounding Earth.
Yeah.
We have, like, the cellular satellites, and then we have the military GPS in geosynchronous orbit satellites.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming in between the moon and going in between those geosynchronous satellites, which is supposed to be in the sweet spot.
Well, they said it's going to pass over Indonesia.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry, people in India, my bad.
Well, they might be able to see something.
Yeah. But, so that's kind of interesting. Is coming within, what, 17,000 miles of Earth, right?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be 5,000 miles closer to Earth than the communication satellites that are circling the planets, the geosynchronous ones you're talking about. They first discovered this actually a year ago this month, but they keep saying it poses no threat. I'm kind of concerned. What if, you know, Earth is playing chicken and jumps in the front? I don't know.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I may be wrong about the satellites. Somewhere I was thinking there's two rings, but maybe there's only the one. Something in my head just went off and was like, no, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. But anyways, it's coming in between the satellites. It's not supposed to hit any of them. But again, these rocks don't come singularly. They are going to be, but it's kind of like a dust, like a dust.
All I got to know is
but
if I get
dust,
my superpowers.
These rocks, I'm calling their dust, are pretty damn big.
Look, all I know is when I get my superpowers, evildoers beware.
But people, you have to understand how many meteorites fall to Earth atmosphere every day. Most of them do not ever make it to Earth.
So this is what makes this absolutely amazing, that it made it and exploded and... They actually, if you go look around the web, if this is something that interests you, they explain what the different types are. It's not actually called a meteorite or meteor until it actually hits our atmosphere or something like that. And then it has several other names. You know what? Let's just say it was a big ball of flying stuff that came from outer space and it could kill us. So how
it's
about
an asteroid in space. Once it hits the atmosphere, it's a meteorite.
Meteor.
Yeah.
Then when it breaks up, it's a meteorite.
Yeah, there we go. My bad.
Science geeks of the world unite!
Yes. Seriously, that is so flipping awesome. I mean, I hope nobody is seriously hurt. But the things you're going to be able to tell your grandkids, yeah, I saw that meteorite in, you know, 2013. I was there. I heard it. I got video. Check this out.
Yes.
They're going to be like, well, what kind of video is this, man? This is like old video.
That's what's going to be funny. Ew, that's not even 3D.
No. There's no smells. There's no.
And the sound quality is just horrible. It's like one-dimensional. What is that?
I know. Just, how are y'all able to do this? All right, so turning away from that, if I get any more information, I will totally give that to y'all.
Okay.
But I have to go into this next one before Corey steals it.
What?
I don't know if she's even heard about it.
What?
Your man, Zelda. Man, did you realize he's on the top one of the top of the New York Times bestsellers list right now? Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia is at the top of the New York Times bestsellers list and Amazon. Killscreen Daily, who pointed this out, Legend of Zelda fans, in particular Dark Horse Comics and Nintendo's collaborative hardcover book on the history of Hyrule, The Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia, is the top-selling book on Amazon and has managed to top the New York Times bestseller list. The Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia was originally released in 2010 as a Japanese-only release, much to the chagrin of the Zelda fans in Europe, North America, and other regions. That release was a collaborative effort between Nintendo and Japanese book publisher Shogakukan. You know, I think I actually said that right first try. Offering an inside look at never-before-seen concept art, design plans, storyboards, and an official timeline of the Zelda series in the 25 years since it was first introduced on the Famicom. Last year, Dark Horse Books formally announced plans to translate the book for the Western market. Based on that announcement, pre-orders for the book on Amazon drove it to the number one spot on Amazon's book charts. The hardcover tome devoted to the series was finally released on January 29th. The rest, as they say, is history. Killscreen delves a little deeper into why this is an important milestone for gaming culture and garnered some commentary from the book's editor over at Dark Horse, Patrick Thorpe. If you want to read that, I'm going to tweet the story out so you can check it. I think that's kind of awesome. A book about a video game on the top sellers list.
Is that
amazing.
A first? Is that a first?
That tells you how much video games touches our society right now.
I could be taking two rays, and one of them is wrong, Ginger.
I can touch my dark places anytime.
Hey, that is my man. I have told you before, do not make me cut you. That is my man and my man only. Anybody want to step to me about Link? We can talk about it up close and personal.
She will cut you. She will cut you, and then I will have to help her hide the bodies.
Oh, we're not going to hide the bodies. I don't hide when I do stuff like that. I'm cutting for my man. I will sit beside you on the curb while you're bleeding when the police show up and say, I had to cut her. I told her not to talk to my man.
That's so true. So true.
I told her I didn't do anything wrong. Okay. This is some news that I am rather shocked to share. I don't even know what to make of it. It's not that bad. It's just kind of interesting. Opera. Know that little browser Opera?
Uh-huh.
Ever heard of the other one called Skyfire? No.
No. Is it any good?
Well, I don't know if it's any good, but right now Opera and Skyfire have joined forces. Yeah, Opera has bought Skyfire for about $155 million.
I'm so sorry, Skyfire.
According to our friends over at Android Police. And they said they're looking to improve mobile video. The market share is small in the desktop world, and Opera's user base is incredibly dedicated. And while many don't realize that the software and the company have been offering surprisingly advanced browsing for nearly two decades, I have to give them credit. I'll tell you why here after I tell you about this story. Opera currently offers two Android browsers, Opera Mobile and Opera Mini, which compresses web pages and images via remote servers before delivering it to your smartphone. And Skyfire, of course, got its start on Symbian, which later became Windows Mobile back in 2007 with its signature feature of on-the-fly flash video cached and delivered by remote servers. And Skyfire became available for Android in 2010, but it hasn't been updated in about 18 months so far. And according to a press release that they sent over to Android Police, Skyfire will continue as a separate product under the direction of CEO Jeffrey Smith, who will be taking additional duties as executive vice president of the operator business for Opera. Wow. The two companies will at least have some kind of crossover in as much as a powerful new set of joint products to be released over the coming year. And, of course, the deal is expected to close completely within a month. Now, I will give them credit. I got to use the Opera browser on my first LG phone when I switched to Virgin Mobile. And it was awesome. I had forgotten how awesome it was. A lot of these little features that we see showing up in Windows, if you have Windows 8, you know what this is. Whenever you open your browser window now, you have the little tiles for your browser, all your browser windows that are open. And that started showing up here lately, but the first place I saw it was on Opera, on my mobile phone. So you know how when you're trying to surf and you're trying to find, maybe you have one open that's your Google Map and one that's some other web page that you're trying to get information off of, they're actually in little squares, which is much easier, ironically, you wouldn't think so, on your cell phone, as opposed to trying to flip back and forth between pages. It's little. Mm-hmm. It's much. It was much, much easier for me to navigate on that phone. I hated that I had to get rid of it, but I had shocked it all to hell, so it was not working anymore. But and I probably would still have it. I thought that was awesome. You know, you have a big enough screen to where you, if the tiles are rightly sized, you can probably have about 9 web pages open. And it was smooth. I don't ever remember it crashing, ever. Whereas my browser here on Optimus Prime's Big Brother crashes quite often, and it is Chrome. It crashes on my computer, and it crashes on my phone all the time. I've had Firefox.
I hate Chrome. Chrome is so annoying.
We were so good with you, Chrome. We were so loving you. But, I mean, it's Opera. I know why they have a dedicated fan base, because they make good stuff. Their mobile browsers are awesome. And the people have stolen from them, of course. I think I've seen Firefox also doing the tile thing. And, like I said, it works well on mobile. Works very, very well. So, anyway, if you haven't tried Opera, I may give it a go here on the PC just to see if it's a little more stable.
Yeah. Well, you're going to tell us, because
I've tried
Opera, and I'm just not,
I was,
not at all.
I was not liking it on the, I haven't tried it on a computer. On the cell phone, it was absolutely awesome. It was smooth. It kept those tiles open, too. You know, if I shut my phone down.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have had the habit, you shut your phone down, of course, all of your things closed, too. It kept those tiles open, and or it would ask me, same thing, like kind of like a, you know, big browser, would you like to restore these, you know. I did like it. It's a nice browser. I gave them some credit.
Let's check that out.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. I had to do another.
Okay. What you got?
I should have run that there video so I could do this here. Mm-hmm. All right. It's about that time, people. Those of you who have been waiting patiently.
I already had this open.
Ha! Look, ha ha, Ginger. The countdown has begun. to the launch of Crysis 3. You have 4 days, and the award-winning developer Crytek GmbH will unleash Crysis to all of us worldwide, hopefully not like a meteorite. Anticipation has been building for months as press and fans praise the gorgeous visuals. It is beautiful. It is absolutely gorgeous. And the unparalleled power of the nano suit. More than 3 million gamers worldwide downloaded the Crysis 3 multiplayer beta.
At once, we're having technical difficulties. I understand. My bad.
Who's having technical issues? Looks fine to us.
Yeah, except the noise is going really, really loud, so I don't think they can hear us. I was trying to find the...
I can hear you. I can't hear whatever noise you're hearing. So I think.
Awesome. Okay.
So, as I was saying before Gigi interrupted me, Crysis 3 is
my
the installment in the award-winning Crysis franchise. The series is known for its spectacular visuals, dynamic, open gameplay, and its signature nano suit that grants players unique powers to assess and adapt and attack in any situation. In Crysis 3, players return to the fight as Prophet on his quest to save mankind, set in New York City that has been encased in a nanodome that has turned this once thriving metropolis into a veritable urban rainforest teeming with overgrown trees, dense swamplands, and raging rivers. Seven distinct and treacherous environments become known as the Seven Wonders. This dangerous new world demands advanced weapons and strategies, including the enhanced nanosuit, which provides players a tactical advantage. In addition to the power nanosuit, players wield the devastating predator, bow, and cutting-edge alien weaponry to become the deadliest hunter on the planet. It'll be available for Xbox, PS3, and PC in a few short days, again, on the 19th here in North America. For players who have ordered Crysis 3, the Digital Deluxe Edition from Origin will receive Crysis and Crysis 2 Maximum Edition, plus the Crysis franchise digital soundtrack, early in-game unlocks, and more. For more information, you can visit Crysis.com, or you can check them out on Facebook, Crysis, and Twitter. Follow them on Twitter, Crysis. I have never played any of the Crysis series. Have you, Ginger?
No, but I might, because this is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous, and I would like to see what the developer did with New York, you know, because I wouldn't have put that together if that was New York. So what I want to see is the subways. I want to see what they've done with the Statue of Liberty. Is she overgrown? You know, what's going on?
Oh, God, is she even still standing?
Yes, is she still standing? I want to see Times Square and what happened there. This is cool. I'm kind of interested. I might want to check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Hot, right? Hot.
That was amazing. I'm still watching this. This is beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful. I mean, look at that. The bow and arrow thing I'm kind of wanting to hear about, too. Oh, look at that. Look at the water. Oh, my God, the water. Do you see the water?
Corey is so caught up with the water.
The water.
And any game that has water, Corey's like, oh, my God, look at the water.
And a sniper rifle. That's all I need in a game. You could just make me a whole game with water and sniper rifle. And I fish with the sniper rifle. I'm good.
You know, I'm sure there are games out there like that somewhere. Because, I mean, you can do that. Hunting for fish, sort of. Shooting fish with, like, a crossbow type of thing. Oh, hey, look, med packs.
Yeah, you don't want to play with Ginger with med packs. See, by the time you hear her say what she just said, she's already picked it up.
Exactly.
Ginger, I thought you said there were med packs. Oh, there were. I picked them up.
Well, you know what? I brought you back to life when you died.
You know what? How come y'all didn't want me to use the paddles on you when we were playing that time? That's what I wanted to do. Oh, the water.
Corey always wants to use the paddles on me.
Girl, worse
than snow.
Look at
this
water.
Is an amazing video.
Look at the water.
I know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it ripples. Oh.
And a second, look at the paint on that car. That's
texturing. See, can I tell them?
Sure.
Ginger's going to school, y'all. She's going to be learning. You know, we already know how to do this stuff, but she's going to be absolutely epic and awesome. I'm going to be jealous because now she's going to have to teach me some new skills because, you know, mine are old. So she's going to school. She's going to be able to do some of this stuff, like hardcore.
Yay!
But
I can't wait. I'm excited. I start my new class.
Yep, but once you take that. Look, he's standing on the Statue of Liberty. Oh, my God.
What was it, the Statue of Liberty?
He was standing on her crown. Oh.
Look at the smoke coming out of that gun.
Okay, you know somebody's going to complain about that, if they haven't already. What does that look like?
I don't know.
9/11. Like? The building's
9/11.
People.
Yeah, they probably are. You are probably right. God, that is so awesome.
Gorgeous.
Oh,
anybody else excited?
I am totally excited. That is...
I don't want to play.
Gorgeous. Yep. All right. So I want to tell y'all about the Game Stick. We've kind of been talking about this. This is the competitor.
Game Stick.
For... this is like the competitor for Ouya, I think. Game Stick launches pre-order service ahead of global retail launch. Hot off the back of its recent Kickstarter success, PlayJam, the company behind Game Stick, the world's most portable TV game console, today launched a pre-order service via its website, which is GameStick.tv. See, Ouya, they had a website right off the bat.
Work.
Powered by Amazon, the service enables anyone who missed out on the opportunity to get their hands on a Game Stick during the Kickstarter campaign to jump the queue ahead of a global retail launch in a few months' time. Pre-ordered devices will ship immediately after fulfillment of the initial Kickstarter run in April and will maintain the $79 price point.
Well, holy crap.
Yeah, I know. That's super cheap. Anthony Johnson, CMO of PlayJam, says, January was a pivotal month for GameStick and the success of the campaign, ensuring that we would bring the device to life. Since the campaign closed, we have received thousands of emails from individuals keen to ensure they remain one of the first to receive the product. By continuing to offer GameStick on the pre-order, we will be able to maintain momentum ahead of our planned retail activity. Again, it's listed at $79 with a case and dock supporting a wide range of peripheral devices, which are listed at $9.99 and $24.99 respectively. All right, so if you want to order yours, again, it's GameStick.tv. And I'm not quite sure what this video is about. I thought it was going to show us more of the actual thing, but I just see people talking. So, hey. Anyways, yay! Game Stick!
Game Stick. Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
All right, I'm about to share the place you should be tonight if you are in the New York area. We were telling you about this earlier in the week. The Smithsonian's The Art of Video Games opens today, and it's a visually striking, or it's being called a visually striking first stab at figuring out where video games fit into the spectrum of creative work. There's a lot packed into a very smallish space, including 5 playable games. The Secret of Monkey Island is there. There's stills and clips from the 80 games that are currently on display, and a mesmerizing look at the faces of people immersed in games we call What the Video Game Saw. It's not impossible to discuss the exhibit without taking a deep breath and mentioning the epic Yes It Is, No It Isn't trolling that has passed itself off as argument on the subject over the past few years. To accept the legitimacy of this empty debate is an admission of defeat, and we won't dignify it with more than acknowledgement of its existence. Yes, violence in video games. It's from our friends at The Slog, by the way. The selection criteria that they said they have on display is eccentric and involved, and they also had online voting, but it's hard to argue with the inclusion of any individual title or series in the exhibit. It's sweet to see some of the old gear on display, like the ColecoVision controllers. Oh, I'm sorry, I almost had to touch myself. Okay, instantly. They also said, of course, there's a notable absence of games for smartphones and other mobile devices, which speaks more to the development cycle of the museum exhibits than anything else. So probably they just couldn't do it. Top-level taxonomy of game types. They also had they have action, adventure, target, and tactics, which is posed by the curator Chris Melesinos, who says it's a good starting point and could launch a dozen master theses, which will be nice. The EMP is hosting Game Night this Friday. We told you about this, from 7 to 11 to celebrate the art of video games. They'll also have a live tournament-style gaming broadcast on Sky Church's alarmingly massive screen. A suite of indie game projects from the kids over at DigiPen. Some speakers from Valve. Microsoft will be there. UW and plenty more. The tickets are only $15. That's less than it costs, or about the same price it costs to go to a movie, and probably much more fun. For adults, $5 for you kiddies, age 5 to 12. And members, if you already have a membership to the Smithsonian, you can get in for free. And I'm going to say this, if you are not a gamer and think the whole gaming thing is crazy, please just stay home. We don't really want you there. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Okay, so I think this is exciting. I wish we do something like that down here. And look, and the funny thing is, right next to it is an ad for a hopscotch and beer festival.
A hopscotch beer festival?
Yeah, some of the things you find on the web. Hopscotch and beer. But anyway, if you're in that area, please go and let us... We'd like to see. I like to see what they do. I wonder if the Smithsonian has a virtual tour where they'll let you walk through that way.
I don't know, but that's kind of...
It's interesting.
Interesting. Very, 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 very interesting. I don't know what to think about that.
You think you would want to go? I don't...
I don't know.
I think the thing that's kind of detracting, at least from distracting for me, is that they don't have that many playable games. I think when you do a video game exhibit, you can't be you watch and stuff. I mean, it's not the same as video games live. Video games live, of course, you don't mind watching because you're not really there's no games there. They're just playing the music from the games and they got it up on the screen and then it's a whole other experience like going to a concert. But I don't know if this works well in a museum setting. I hope they do well and that he's able to expand it and do some different things. And of course, I know the speakers that are going to be there are going to kind of be off. They always are at those things. When it's not E3, it's like the Valves and the Microsoft, they don't know what to do with themselves. They just kind of stand there. Because you know E3...
You know, these guys stand around this hole, I keep thinking, you know, one of those automatons or something's going to come up out of this hole and get them.
What are you watching?
I'm showing video of the crater.
Ah, Ginger. Are people picking
up
pieces?
People walk around this whole crater hole. I'm like...
Picking, is that a piece of it he has in his hand? That's a pole?
I don't know.
It looks like he had a piece.
I'm pressing play again. I'm thinking, y'all are going to get eight. y'all are going to be the first, zombies.
Yeah, they're going to be the first zombies. Don't go near the hole, people. It looks to be okay. Look, that's how it starts in the movie. It looks like it's okay.
I know, because you always see it. You know, the military people and the press runners out there to go look at it, and they're all taking pictures and snapping, and somebody's walking up to it slowly, all just kind of kicking rocks, looking at it, and the next thing you know, great big mechanical hand comes out and yanks them down.
I see that. I'm packing my clothes already. I'm going to pick up Baby Nature, because, like, we are going into hiding. I know exactly.
I had to show that because I'm sitting here looking for more videos and whatnot.
Yeah, from different angles.
Yeah,
be afraid.
There are a ton of videos.
Bad Ginger. Do you want me to do another story while you search for more video?
No. I can do another one. I got a video.
Look, I'll look for video while you search.
Yeah. That sounds good.
We'll tag team.
Sounds good. All right, so Spellforce 2, Faith and Destiny, releases third action-packed DLC, Destroy the Nameless. And this is pleased to announce the Last Stand DLC from Spellforce 2, Faith and Destiny, is available to purchase today on Steam. The Last Stand is the third DLC to be released for the fantasy RPG set in the dangerous world of Dunmora, where the Nameless has launched a ferocious attack against the elves and Queen Sansha. Players must assume the role of Cain and use their tactical skills to help defend the precious land. Dunmora has become too dangerous for Professor Twiddle.
Professor Twiddle, really?
To journey through carrying parts of the Twiddleium Compensator, leaving the parts with Queen Sansha to look after. The attacks become more frequent and are taking on a new dimension that players will need to battle through. The Spellforce DLCs are a great value for money, adding over 12 hours of genuine Spellforce gameplay, all for under £10. See, folks, that's how you do it. That's cheap. I would totally buy that. And that's with a season pass. This is coming from Gennaro Jenna Gianni, localization and production manager at Nordic Games. Listening to what the fans want is very important to us. Each DLC that has been released has taken on board the feedback we've received to create extra content that we know players will enjoy. Spellforce 2 Faith and Destiny was released in June 2012 for PC. Joining forces with a group of diverse heroes and a dragon as trustful companions, players fight to gain information about this mysterious new enemy and thereby discover their own true destiny. Again, that is the full game is available for purchase on Steam today for £3.49. Y'all come since? Anyways, £3.49. Or it can be purchased with a season pass priced at $8.99, which includes Link's Diary and Golden Fool.
Fleece Fiery, what?
Link's Diary.
Fleece Fiery, that sounds like something you catch.
Only when you don't wear protection.
You look like you got Fleece Fiery, that's nasty.
Oh my god, that one had sound.
Oh, the one I just sent you?
Yeah, that was like right off the bat. Set off all the car alarms?
You should see the picture. It's very small, unfortunately. I don't think you can zoom in on it or make it bigger. But
I made it bigger.
Oh, there we go. Okay, keep watching. This part is interesting, but the next part that's coming up is what and this is the one some of the ones I saw this morning from Sergey. Sergey is making the most money off his footage. He put his up first and got it out. But do you see this?
Her mouth taped shut.
Do you see this explosion? Do you see
I
here on
do
the
do see that explosion? That is just
she got
wow.
hit in the mouth. Isn't that amazing? Scary, right? Okay. So we
that
got another
totally
news.
Scary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing. Okay, we got to do more news. Throw that up there, Ginger, so I can tell them about War Game Airland Battle, which is looking. That's what it looks like. That the video is about there. Okay, the official website of War Game Airland Battle, the sequel to the spectacular real-time strategy game War Game Europe Escalation, starts up today. The updated website has also been optimized for your smartphone and your touch tablets, allowing players to access all the information about Wargame wherever you may be. The website, they're saying, is a gold mine of information about Wargame Airland Battle. It explains how its solo campaign and multiplayer mode work, gives more data about the air forces of the game, and gives lots of information about gameplay mechanics. All of this illustrated with many new images. Everything you want or need to know, whether you're discovering Wargame or you're a veteran player of European Escalation, can be found there on the website. They're also calling it a hub for the community. It has some images and video game galleries, which they're planning to expand in the months to come, and also has a fan-made video section, so it will let you discover the best videos made by the community. And you can also find the dev blog of Eugene Systems on the website, where they share exclusive information about the game. Finally, the community hub of the site will let you follow in real time all the actively surrounding War Game on your favorite social networks. Activity. Okay, so you can visit the official website, which is evolvepr.com. You know what? What is with you people? It's wargame-ab.com. So skip the evolve. Very nicely put together website. I do believe I'm kind of jealous.
That is kind of awesome looking.
It is an awesome looking game. I kind of want to play.
Yeah.
Is it a free to play?
I'd play it.
European.
Is it free to play?
I don't know if it is. I'm about to be all up in this later on.
All up in this.
I'm about to be all up in it come later. No, it does not look to be free to play. However, it is playable on Mac and PC, which is interesting. I like the whole cross-pollination thing you're doing with Mac and PC.
Right,
oh,
so
yeah,
look,
$34.99 to play.
$34.99? Right, cool.
Which is not bad, considering that's the price as games used to be.
That's true. All right, so it looks like Star Trek is not done. It's coming to a PC and Xbox 360 near you. 3 years ago, shortly after the massively worldwide success of the reimagined film version of Star Trek, the creators of the upcoming Star Trek, the video game, began their journey to bring an entirely new adventure to gamers. At the heart of every Star Trek adventure are two unforgettable heroes, Kirk and Spock. And what about Scotty? Come on, Scotty was always in everything. Beam me up, Scotty! Anyway.
Or if you watch Galaxy Quest, digitize me, Fred.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, I saw that the other
At the heart of every Star Trek adventure are two unforgettable heroes, Kirk and Spock. And just as their cooperation drives the story of Star Trek on screen, it needed to form the core of the video game experience, says Brian Miller, executive producer of Star Trek, the video game, which will be released this coming April 26th. Kirk is this brash cowboy character, whereas Spock is this exact opposite. And when you break down the Star Trek to those elements, you had to make a co-op game. There was no other game we could possibly make. And a new video feature released today, which I'm showing y'all, Miller explains more about the creation of Star Trek, the video game, and the co-op play that gamers will experience in it. Again, this is going to be available April 26, 2013 for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. That's awesome. So more Star Trek fun. Yay. I don't know about this.
That looks awesome. Okay. It's kind of cartoony, but I like... wait a minute. He's a little choppy looking. That's looking kind of old.
I know. I'm not sure.
Our characters are moving a little more smooth than that. Oh, will I get to fly out in space, though? Because that's right there.
Oh, and it's
hot.
The new Kirk. It's not the... So this is based off the actual movie, not
Oh yeah, because that's what's his face. That's not the new. That's the. Oh no, I'm not in. I'm not even a Trekkie, and that's just wrong.
Yeah.
That's when you go get William Shatner. He's hot, but I never. That's when you go pick up Shatner. That's when you go and say we're gonna get these people and do the voices because I think they're all still around, aren't they? Leonard Nimoy is still alive.
Yeah,
right?
Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, because he does a lot of geeky shows where he just does his voice.
Yeah, he does a lot of voiceovers. Perfect. You should have grabbed him. I never did like that guy there. I liked his character when he was on Heroes, but he could stay out of it.
Yeah.
All right. She's watching more startling footage. Ginger, are you seeing this?
I am seeing this. Wow.
This is not the one that scares me. The one I think if I had been in Russia this morning that would have scared the crap out of me is coming after this one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you see that? You're a couple of minutes, seconds ahead of us, but you see where the van is turning and the whole sky is just blue.
It almost looked like it was coming straight for them.
Yeah, that right there.
I would have paid myself.
I just would have stopped the car and just gotten out and run away screaming. Seriously. You just see how the whole, everything changed. And some of them are just still driving. You know what? I got to give people in Russia some credit. None of them, when you're watching this video, none of them veered off the road. You see nobody's running or screaming. The people that
they
are in
the car. They had no warning. They didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's no, you don't see, look, this is going on. Okay. If this was
that one lady's just walking across the street like,
yeah, that's what I said. You got to give them credit. Those are some cool customers in Russia. They're like, whatever. Oh, the sky is lighting up. Okay. The cars don't even stop. They didn't stop. They didn't wreck. That'd have been us. We're all over the side of the freeway. People are hurt. Jumping out of the car screaming. So you got to give those Russian people credit. They are cool.
Just walking across the street, cell phone in hand. Man, hey, lights just changed. It's kind of strange. What's going on? But didn't actually look up. Look from side to side. I mean, nobody thinks about a meteorite, you know?
I would have. First place I'm looking is up.
That
is amazing.
Crazy.
That is absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Did you sound like Kitten Matrix this morning? That's what she was doing right before the show. Stop it, Kitten Matrix. You think she's a lion. All right. Thanks to you lovely people over at Game Anvil for sending this over. They're saying they've had the best year ever.
Ever?
Ever. I got a video and everything to prove it. Wait a minute, did I give you two videos already? I don't know. There's one. Do that.
Okay,
so Game Anvil is reporting their fourth quarter was fantastic. They had a record year, 64% growth for their last quarter last year. During the 2012 fiscal year, Game Anvil recorded $70.2 billion in sales. Right? Hot. For
that
the
is
results.
Hot.
Also,
oh, that is such a cute little game. Look at the little horse.
Okay, I'm going to skip down a little bit. The quarter's achievements, they're saying, can be attributed to focused efforts in third-party publishing, along with successful in-house titles such as Xenonia, which is what Ginger's probably looking at, Baseball Superstars, and Ginger's and I's favorite, Fishing Superstars, Kingdom Royale, and third-party titles including Punch Hero, which we were talking about quite often here, Monster Warlord, and Cartoon Wars helped solidify the quarter's performance, whereas third-party titles accounted for only 23% of total revenue the previous year. In 2012, it accounted for 44%. Ooh, nice.
Very nice.
Very bright. They look like they're trying to be an up-and-comer. We see a lot of them.
Yeah, I like that. I approve of them.
I approve of them. I highly, highly approve. I'm going to go to Facebook and give them some follow love.
Yes.
Some liking love.
All right. So Val says, I'm going to do cooties.
Oh, God.
About demon Val.
Stop talking, Val. Stop, Gabe. Shut up.
Val's Gabe Newell took the unusual step of breaking a silence on recent developments inside Valve after it was reported yesterday that many as 25 employees had been let go. Valve did not confirm that the number was accurate. Among those confirmed to be leaving the company are Valve's director of business, Jason Holtzman, and hardware engineer, Jerry Ellsworth. While Newell could not or would not talk about changes in staffing, he did confirm that no big changes in Valve's various projects were planned. We do not usually talk about personal matters for a number of reasons. There seems to be an unusual amount of speculation about recent changes here, so I thought I'd take the unusual step of addressing them. No, we aren't canceling any projects. No, we aren't changing any priorities or projects we've been discussing. No, this isn't about Steam or Linux or hardware or insert game name here. We're not going to discuss why anyone in particular is or isn't working here. I got a really, really good hunch why they're not working there, Gabe. It starts with a G, and the second word starts with an N.
It starts with a G and ends with a Newell.
Yeah. All right, so since that one was short, I want to talk about another Steam one. Steam Linux client released. After a long wait, Linux users can finally use the Steam client on their favorite open source operating system. Linux users can download the free Steam client from the Ubuntu Software Center right now.
I don't care, Steve. You know what I cares about? I need it on my droid.
And she also wants her, what's that one, the Heroes?
City of Heroes back, Steve.
Yeah.
You want to do something? Gabe, whatever your name is. Gabe, Steve, whatever your name is. I need, okay, I'm sorry. I just got addicted to something. I'm sorry, y'all. Don't even talk to me the rest of the weekend. Don't talk to me. I'm serious. I'm done for the weekend. I'm getting off the show, Ginger. You do the last 15 minutes by yourself. I just found it.
No! Down the fishing rod.
Girl, it's not a, I'm sorry.
You know, we really should. No, we don't have the space. I want fishing. Steam for Linux client is fully compatible with Steam's Big Picture mode, which allows users to play games on their high-definition television sets using a controller. At launch, the client supports around 50 Linux-compatible games, including Counter-Strike 1.6, Counter-Strike Source, Half-Life, Team Fortress 2, and more. The introduction of Steam to Ubuntu demonstrates growing demand for open systems from games and game developers. This is coming from Ubuntu, however you say it, developer, Canonicals, Director of Consumer Applications, David Pitkin. Get shorter titles, darn it! We expect a growing number of game developers to include Ubuntu among their target platforms. We're looking forward to seeing AAA games developed with Ubuntu in mind as part of a multi-platform day and date release on Steam.
We have to hurry.
Yay!
I'm not going to make it. You're going to have to hurry.
Yeah,
my hands are shaking.
You can do it. Stop tapping the vein. On a related note, Valve is offering 50-75% off sale all week long on Linux-based games. Awesome. So if you've got a Linux, you want to get some games, now is the time to do it, people. What did you find?
I found it accidentally on Facebook. I said, that looks interesting, and it's a game from Big Point, who we were really good friends
with. Oh, touchy, the Big Point games.
Rising Cities is a simulator.
Don't do it.
And I get to manage the resources.
Don't do it. You got to make shoes.
I can make shoes while I...
Don't do it.
I have to do it. I cannot resist the precious. Okay. We got to do news.
Please.
All right. Apparently... Wait a minute. I can't share any of these with y'all. Never mind. I opened up a thing and I was like, let me see these games. Let me tell y'all what's coming. Oh, I can't say anything about them. Let me just tell you. Wow. Ooh, this is going to keep us busy for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ginger, we're about to split all these. Me, you, and this is going to be ugly. Y'all are going to hate me.
That's fine. Oh, I'm going to write that one. Okay.
I'm very, very sorry. I'm sorry. I did not know when I opened it that's what it was. I'm glad I didn't say anything. Okay. Let me smack my lips. Okay, there is, for those of you who like boxing, I can't tell you about this either. Can y'all stop sending this to me? All right, well, there's a game that you can check out. Apparently, I can share this one with you. It's from Vivid Games CEO Ramunguez Smith. Yeah. Let me go ahead and give Ginger this video. You can look at this video. I believe we can share this with you, but we don't have much info on it. It's from Vivid. It's going to be at GDC and Game Connection in San Francisco at the end of March, and we're giving you a sneak preview mostly because they didn't say I couldn't. There's other parts in here where they say I can't share, but they didn't say anything about this video. Got to be specific when you send us press releases, baby. Okay, so did you have it up?
Yeah, now I do. I was having a second where it was being a pain in my patootie.
Okay, this is from Vivid Games. They're going to have a booth at the NVIDIA stand. So if you are going to be at at what is it, Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. You can actually go over and play this. I believe it's called Project Shield. Am I wrong? Yeah, this is a little gaming console from NVIDIA. Remember we were saying they were going to put one out?
Yeah, I was fixed to ask. What console is this?
Yeah, that's the Gaming Shield, and it's a boxing game that's on there. Again, they did not say I couldn't share it with you. You saw it here first. First. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure I tweet that. You should be watching. You should be watching. If you're not watching live, you can catch it later. Go back and watch it. We'll be up on YouTube probably in a few hours if you missed us live. If you're listening live, you got to come over and look. That's pretty much all they've shown. And, of course, we have their website, which I am not sure if they will let me share. So I'm not going to share that one. But doesn't it look awesome?
It does look awesome.
I kind of was thinking NVIDIA was being stupid when they showed it up. But it is so – you should see the website. I'm going to show Ginger the website. You all, I can't share it with you because I'm not sure that I can. But I'm going to give it to Ginger. You can hear the gasp when she sees the pretty – you know, the pretty, pretty pictures they have up. And I want you to click through them, Ginger, when you look at it. Don't put it up, though. We can't share. I don't think we can. Well, no. No, wait a minute. Yes, you can. Go ahead and throw that up. And
I then can? You can okay.
Yeah, apparently you can. I think this website is public. It's not private. They didn't give us a login. Go ahead and show them how it works. What I'm not sure is the specs or the, you know, or anything. But I'm going to try to get some more information on this today. They just sent this to us, like, while we were doing the news. Like, literally 2 seconds before I told you is when we got it. Isn't that beautiful?
That is really
okay,
beautiful.
Okay, click through those at the bottom. With the Russia. Why do you have the Russia rock steps on you going across the screen? Bad changer. Click on that, that third one over there from where you are.
I like how that folds up and closes.
Yeah, that's what I wanted them to see. That is hot.
I clicked on it. I swear it's there on my screen.
It's going to take a minute to catch up for us. But it actually flips close. Just like, well, most handhelds do. The PS Vita is the only one with the castanets that doesn't have a cover on it. But if you have a Nintendo DS, your cover flips close, which is why it's pretty much indestructible. You could put all this pretty high-def screen in there, but you have to have a way to cover it because if you drop it, what happens? Same things happen to the iPad.
Because I'm clicking on the wrong screen one. I've got it open on two screens. So I was like, why is it not changing?
Yep. Well, I thought it was just slow. But you know how if you have an iPad, people who have iPads know this. If you don't have a cover on it, if you drop it, it has a tendency to flip for some reason in the air and go screen down and crack, which is what happens to a lot of the Sony stuff. But you don't hear that happening as often with the 3DSs because they have a cover. So when you drop them, nine times out of ten, the cover is going to hit the ground. It'll flip closed, and it protects your screen. You know, if the outside gets damaged, who cares? That's why, you know. It is very, very pretty. Anyway, you can visit their webpage. It's too long for me to give to you. But you can try getting to it from shield.nvidia.com, and they actually I think they have a button there where you can sign up for updates if you want to kind of keep abreast of what's going on.
I think I may want to set, you know, what games they bring out for.
Yeah, that boxing one doesn't look bad there.
I'm not big into boxing, but...
I'm not, but I it doesn't look bad. I might give it a try.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go, see what's going on.
Exactly.
All right, you know what? We got to go early, because I got to go raise my city. I'm sorry.
No, can't go early.
I have to!
Why early?
Okay, we got 7 minutes, Ginger. It's your turn.
Okay. Okay, you can breathe, It'll be all right. All right. Did you already talk about the Escapist Expo?
The Escape of the what? You cut out.
Escapist Expo.
It sounds like you said Escape of the Sexpo. Escape of the Sexpo is what it sounded like you said. Go ahead. No, I did not. Go ahead.
All right. So, Alloy Digital, the new owners of another gaming site, The Escapist. I'm sure maybe some of y'all might have heard about it possibly. Has confirmed today that the Escapist Expo will be making a triumphant return to Durham, North Carolina, over October 4th through the 6th. Last year, nearly 6,000 gamers attended the inaugural 3-day video gaming lifestyle and culture event. I think somebody's trying to compete with PAX. Last year's event, the Escapist Expo, will once again team up with the Global Spectrum, the management company for the Durham Convention Center, to bring a variety of fun activities, exhibitions, discussions, and events related to gaming. First year of the Escapist Expo truly exceeded our expectations and brought an enthusiastic response from the gaming community. This is coming from the editor-in-chief over there at The Escapist, Susan Arendt. Anyways, we're thrilled to be able to bring the event back. I'm hearing banging noises.
That's me.
Better not be zombies. It promises to be even bigger than last year, and we look forward to bringing great energy to the city of Durham. The 2013 Expo promises game industry expert keynotes and panel discussions, game publisher exhibitions and dealers, anime and cosplay specialists, visual artists, tabletop gaming, comic and graphic novel dealers, and both live and electronic game competitions. Whew. All right, so the Escapist Expo will once again invite volunteers to participate and experience the event through the Hard Corps program. To volunteer or become a sponsor of this year's event or exhibit a product, you can do that over at theescapistexpo.com. This is totally going against PAX. Good luck, guys. Good, well, I say girl, actually, because it's a girl running this. So, good luck, chick. Yo. Chick love. Corey, put it down. Put it down.
No, 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 no. You can't make it.
Put it down, Corey.
No,
down.
Why? Why do I have to put it down?
Because, put it down.
I just want to raise a little bit, just a little bit.
No.
I just want to get my city started. I'm going to start it.
No. Oh, I did want to tell you all about this. 14 video games on view at the Museum of Modern Art. Video games can be art. Oh, yeah? Well, 14 video games will be among the items on display in the Applied Design and Installation in the Philip Johnson Architecture and Design Galleries that opens on March 2nd at the Museum of Modern Art. That's kind of hot.
Nice.
Representing the new directions of contemporary design, says a MoMA press release, the exhibition features outstanding examples of interface and interaction design, dynamic visualizations, products, furniture, 3D printed chairs and bowls, emergency equipment, and biodesign. A testament to this vitality and diversity, the objects on display range from a mine detector on the young Dutch-Afghani designer Masoud Hassani to a bowl made by transforming desert sand into glass using only the energy of the sun. Also on display are the first 14 video games in MoMA's collection as part of an ongoing research on interaction design. All right, so the games that are going to be there, number one, oh yeah, baby, Pac-Man! We've also got Tetris, Another World, Myst, SimCity 2000, Viv Ribbon, The Sims, Katamari Damacy, EVE Online, Dwarf Fortress, Portal, Flow, Passage, and last but not least, Cannibals. While EVE Online, Dwarf Fortress, SimCity 2000, Sims, and Myst will be presented as walkthroughs or demos, the rest will be playable with controllers and headphones. This is just the initial batch of what the MoMA hopes will be about 40 games that emphasize not only the visual quality and aesthetic experience of each game, but also the many other aspects, from the elegance of the code to the design of the player's behavior, that pertain to interaction design. All right, so this is going to be open at the MoMA from March 2nd, 2013 until January 31st of 2014. So check out MoMA.org for museum hours and ticket prices. God, I wish I were close enough to go to that. That sounds like fun. Corey?
I'm here. I was choking because I looked out the window and I thought I saw a zombie. Really, I did. I was like, what the?
No zombies.
And then I got choked. I was like, oh my God. Where's my wrench? It's because you said it. See? Power of suggestion. All right, people.
I know. Let me go see what was at my door because, you know, really, somebody was even like banging at my door or something.
Take the bat, girl. Take the bat. All right. So that is going to do it for us. We will see you guys bright and early Monday morning with more news. And, of course, as we find more footage of meteorites, we'll probably be sharing them via Facebook and everything else. You guys stay safe for the rest of us because we got to see if this other one's going to pass us by. They could be lying. Could be like, what if we had a bunch of those movies that came out the day after tomorrow and all those kinds of,
Yeah.
Y'all want to be scared. Really, Pac-Man, Dubstep, you don't want to act right? I think that's GLaDOS. Mean GLaDOS. Bad GLaDOS.
Bad GLaDOS. Bad GLaDOS.
Yeah.
For once, I kind of wish I were in Russia. That's kind of cool.
Ginger, you're not supposed to wish you were there near the destruction.
Well, I'm sorry. That's cool. And if I get to shoot somebody in the face because they're a zombie, then that's even better.
Bad Ginger. All right, guys.
You guys, we can't pass pepper gun laws. I need my guns to kill the zombies. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, I got to get Fallen Earth and get my Valentine. I got a Valentine.
Oh, I know. I know. Oh, and APD, too. APD, don't forget.
Oh, I don't have any installed.
Girl, you better get that installed.
I know. I know. By the way, our Super Bowl is no longer.
Your sleepy world is no longer sleeping?
Secret world, woman. We're out of here.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be right. See you guys. Yep.